ahead, do it from your life and your heart. Hallelujah. This praise belongs to you, Lord. To you belong the glory and the majesty and the honor and the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for that powerful truth of God's great victory. From 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And then we will read from Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, seeking prey. Acts 12 and verse 5. When the roaring lion was attacking the church, and in particular, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So to avoid being prey, believers prayed. So I submit to you this morning, it's either pray or pray. And remember what we just have sung. The enemy has been defeated. And one of the weapons of our warfare is through prayer. And you may be seated. And after you're seated, would you pray right now for God's will in the remainder of this service? Now, Lord, we are very thankful for your presence that is already here. And we believe in the weapon and the avenue of prayer. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your plan and your agenda that you already have counseled for this service today. And now we want to step into all of that according to your will. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. There's no doubt that these two powerful entities, a praying devil and a praying church, exist and are at odds. The difference and the disparity is only becoming wider and greater between a church that prays and an evil enemy that preys. It's not your imagination that sin and lawlessness and the loss of the moral compass is increasing. Over time, there has been a gradual drift until now, where there is an increasing snowball down the hill momentum toward godlessness and the open promotion of sin and evil. In fact, our world and our culture, we read about it, we hear about it, we see it, we witness it, but it's further down a godless road probably than we even realize. But alongside that, people are praying like they have never prayed before. Individuals are making new and renewed commitments. Many of them are right here, and I pray there will be more by the time we are finished today. The church and church leaders are making unprecedented calls for commitments to pray. It's not unusual to hear about or to see via social media and other testimonials of churches and youth ministries and Sunday school classes and children and men and women's ministries and conferences praying and having prayer meetings and having tremendous moves of God that just birthed or were spawned out of prayer meeting. There is a praying church. And that begs the question today that I feel to prompt and present to you. Will you pray? Or will you be prey? Pray. The purpose of the message today is, number one, to be able to be what God intended us to be until He comes. To be effective for the sake of yourself and your family. To be effective in kingdom service. To be that disciple maker and that witness that God intends for us to be. The second purpose is to be ready for the coming of the Lord. In other words, to have oil in your spiritual lamp, according to God's parable. And then thirdly, due to the intense and serious situations currently occurring, not only in our world, but I'll bring it closer, and I referred to this last week in the message, in our APC family, it is essential that we be a praying church and that you and I be praying individuals and praying believers. We don't have time for distractions. We don't have time for petty temporal things. We don't have time for selfishness or grudges or pursuing our kingdom over His. It's time to pray. We need to pray. The very definition of prayer tells us why we pray and tells us why we need to pray. In simplest terms, prayer is talking with God. It's all right if you use these and thous, but you don't have to use these and thous. It's just simply a conversation. It's prayer is relationship. Prayer is all about relationship. It is not filling a time slot of 30 minutes or 60 minutes or 15 minutes. Prayer is not just an obligation. Prayer is an opportunity to know more about Him, to move closer to Him, to prepare ourselves for things we will face in this life, to prepare ourselves for His coming, and to prepare ourselves for the assaults and the incidents that we are facing, and they seem to have no measure. I would just say to you today, please hear me, church. Make it happen. Pray no matter what. Be determined. It won't always be easy in the sense of getting to a time of prayer, but once you get there, it will be easy. Be determined. If prayer is called or if prayer is not called, pray. If you feel like it, pray. If you don't feel like it, pray. And don't fall, P-R-E-Y, to the deception, well, if I don't feel like it, what good would it do? Jesus addressed exactly that when He told the disciples, the spirit will always be willing, but the flesh will always be weak or not feel like it. Feel like it or not, pray. Have a conversation with the one that loves you and that you love. Prayer is not a ritual. It is a relationship. Sometimes in difficult circumstances, we are more vulnerable to failing to pray, to not praying. Because one, maybe our faith is weakened and then we don't feel like praying because of the attack that we are under. Secondly, we may feel guilty that we haven't been praying like we should, and we feel like God will hold it against us to do what we call emergency praying. Number three, that we are vulnerable to not praying in difficult times. We may listen to the voice of our carnal or fleshly humanness that says prayer is a crutch. You've got to, or you can do this on your own. And I'll be quick to add, there are things that we need to do, and God won't do what we are supposed to do. But prayer is not a crutch. Prayer is not a sign of weakness. Rather, it is a sign of the strength of divine dependency. That is a strength. When we say with Paul, I am weak, but in my weakness God is made strong. Here's what is true. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. You watch the spiritually successful throughout Scripture in their difficult circumstances. Before, during, and after he was in that den of lions, Daniel prayed. Jonah, finally, he tried to work it out himself. He tried to plan it all for himself. But finally, in that belly of that whale, finally, Jonah prayed and God answered. It doesn't matter how deep you are in this situation. If you will pray, God will hear you. Look at Elijah at Mount Carmel, faced with those hundreds of prophets. And there are others that are around us in more recent and current days. The spiritually successful have learned how to pray and learned the importance of prayer. After the message last week, where I mentioned the very oppressive assaults individuals and families of our church family are encountering, my wife made an observation. And I'm thankful the lady prays. I wouldn't want to do life or ministry without her. Our founder, Brother Branding, pastored this church in a wonderful way and other leadership things without prayerful assistance of a spouse. And I thank God for a praying wife. What would be almost or perhaps equally difficult is to have a saved wife, but a prayerless wife. In fact, I'm not sure that's even possible, to be saved and prayerless. Spouses, husbands and wives, we need the prayers of one another. We need the prayers of one another. This was her observation. Well, babe, I've been asking God to help us to become a more prayerful church. And maybe he is using these circumstances, not creating them, but using them to force us to pray. Perhaps there would be the argument, well, Pastor, if we're only praying because of difficult times and trials, is that the kind of praying that God really wants? In partial answer, I will quote Sister Rachel Calthorpe, if we pray only when we are in trouble, we're in trouble. No, that's not the kind of emergency praying. That kind of emergency praying is not what God wants. But he can use circumstances to lead us to a prayer life that will be in effect during trials and emergencies, but then beyond the event and the emergency, he can lead us into a lifestyle of praying. And I want to tell you what I feel as your pastor. I feel that this is the case for us at APC at this present point and place in our history. God is dealing with us now about a commitment to prayer. He is going to use those urgent needs to get our spiritual attention and then almost drive us to prayer. But your prayer life is not going to stop with the emergency, but it is going to move into a lifestyle of prayer. That is, if you and I will respond. We are concerned about too many other things, temporal things versus eternal things. What should be the very foundations of our lives, our spiritual priorities like prayer and Bible reading and church attendance and kingdom involvements and kingdom service? Those things are taking a back seat or have maybe been put in the trunk if they're in the car at all, as if it's a spare tire to use only in times of emergency. No one is exempt from the negative results of prayerlessness. Nobody. The next portion of this message is not what I would prefer to give, but it's not what I prefer, it's what he prefers. This is not going to be easy to say. It's hurt me during the week as I prepared it, and every time I came across this section of the notes, and I feel the hurt today. But I must give you an honest spiritual diagnosis and report. And I know I'm not talking to or about everybody. But there are enough individuals in our APC family and perhaps elsewhere hearing this message that has prompted God to prompt this message. While there is an intensity by some, there is a lukewarmness of prayer in others. I sense this lukewarmness of prayer at APC. There is a sense of concern as your shepherd about the consistency and thus the effectiveness of your prayer life. I am sensing a lack of daily prayer, where prayer is a lifestyle. Granted, I am not 24/7 in your life, but the prompter of this message is. There are limited areas only that I can actually observe and assess. They are limited, but they are also indicative. They tell a story. One area I can assess, and granted, it's only one area of prayer, but it is our times of called prayer as an APC church family. I'm talking about all church prayer meetings. I'm talking about Tuesday prayer meeting, pre-service prayer, altar service prayer. The desire to pray, the degree to which you value prayer, your sense of the need to pray, is easily registered and read at those times. Despite what we say, it is what we do that really counts and matters. And in some of you, that desire and that value is not present. I just ask you to assess yourself today. Am I spiritually engaged in a lifestyle of prayer? What am I doing at times when I could or I should be praying? What wins in your schedule over all church prayer meeting times? What wins over you praying during our pre-service prayer time? And if I am not engaged in prayer, what do I engage in instead of prayer? Talking with others, checking Facebook, sports scores, Instagram, Twitter, or any other excuse. I want to point out and remove the trap of justification that's in your pathway, and it is a trap. People have answered and justified, well, I don't have to pray then because I pray at other times. And that could very well be true. But what has been found to be consistently and constantly true is this. If a person is in love with God, if they're in a valued relationship with Him, if they are praying effectively and consistently at other times, when another opportunity is given to pray, we would be all over it. We would not use another prayer opportunity as an excuse to not be praying. Instead, it would be serving as an incentive and fuel to the fire and passion to pray. Lack of prayer at any time or in any venue is most likely a sign of a lack of prayer overall. And there may be a few, but very few, exceptions to that rule. You see, lukewarmness of prayer leads to other maladies. Because prayer is such a core and essential and foundational component of our spiritual well-being. In other words, if prayer is lacking, other things will automatically be lacking. God has set us on a track of discipleship. Been set there by the Lord, and He used Brother Gleason to help us and enlighten us to a greater dimension into discipleship. One of the first steps and absolute essentials to being able to disciple is a prayer life, because discipling is love and compassion and grace, and in our own human self, we're not capable of giving at least to the degree that they need to be given in discipling. We can't do that on our own. We need His Spirit. In fact, we just need His Spirit on all fronts. I can't be the dad. I can't be the grandfather. I can't be the husband. I can't be the pastor. I can't be whatever other role that we may fulfill and that you may fulfill. We truly cannot do that without the help of the Spirit and without the impact of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what will make for a greater marriage is a greater prayer life. Not that alone, but you put that in there first. What will make for a greater life of freedom and will bring deliverance if you feel oppressed today, and I do sense the spirit of an oppression coming against some individuals, but here's what you can do. You can call on the God who is greater. And he, as one songwriter said, is the great emancipator. It doesn't matter what oppression is coming against us. By the authority of the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Spirit and the blood and the Word of God, we can advance and get those things through the avenue of prayer. Little prayer, little discipleship. Greater prayer, greater discipling. A prayer life also affects our leadership abilities. And this is true in all, whether it's family leadership, parental leadership, whether it's church or anywhere else. The only spiritually and eternally effective spiritual leadership influence is gained through prayer. We can organize and and I believe in it and I think that we should. We can do it all, but without the power and the presence of God. That is gained through prayer. We need him. Prayer affects our ministry. And ministry is wide. And I'm not going to be able to touch every area of ministry today. But you can just know that it covers every area. But I'm going to focus on just a couple of the more public areas of ministry. First of all, preaching and teaching. Our preaching ministry is only as spiritually effective as our prayer life. Preachers, our general rule should be this. If you have to choose between praying and studying with whatever time is left before the message, choose prayer. The kind of preaching I'm talking about today is a word from God that is fully attended by the presence of God. Preaching that is completely submitted and aligned with his purpose for our ministry. Preaching that presents God's will and his heart to the heart and mind of believers. Like many others, I enjoy neat thoughts, good oratory, clever lines, interesting stories. And I think you can have all of those in sermons. But then there must be some heaven connection that will come from nowhere else but the presence of God. There must be that spirit conviction that goes into the soul and the depths of those that are hearing his word. There must be an other world heaven anointing. I believe we ought to prepare. I probably spent about 8 hours on this message alone. So there needs to be preparation. I tried to be clever, pray and pray. But that won't impact your prayer life. That will not protect you from being the P-R-E-Y. What will impact you is the power and the unction and the conviction that comes into your soul and into the depths of you as you hear and then seek to apply the word of God. I'll just say to all of us that minister, we need wisdom and knowledge and information from the Lord. I gave up a long time ago trying to be the FBI, trying to find it all out. Here's what we need to do. We need to pray and get a hold of God and get the wisdom and the knowledge and the information that he wants to give us from heaven. And if we are praying, he will lead us to say things that we may have no idea why we are saying them. Or we had maybe another direction in mind, but God used that. That's what happens through a ministry surrounded by prayer. Musicians and singers, you bless us with your talent and your ability and your willingness to share your talent. And your prayer life, hear me, your prayer life is going to send your musicianship and your vocal abilities to another spiritual level. I believe, I thank God for wonderful, talented voices and music abilities. For that we should be very thankful, very thankful. But it's not only about the beauty of how and what is being done, but it is about the unction and the anointing. And having spent time with our Lord, being close to Him, and you can't help but get close to Him and not hear His voice and sense His finger in His hand saying, here, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. When that voice and that skilled musicianship has been saturated in a time of connection with Him, it's going to accomplish an eternal purpose that will mean so much more than any momentary compliment that you can get. Just this week, in the early part of this week, one of our members who is going through one of those kind of situations that I mentioned last week, the assaults and the attacks, here's what they wrote in an email. The song Sunday, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace, was a blessing to me. There is nothing like the peace from God. What may look like just a simple thought in the mind of a singer or a preacher, what may seem like it's an old repeated song, can be used by the Lord God to help somebody that is in the midst. And God wants to help several people here today. And I want you to know, you're here today. Somebody has been praying for you. If you will respond to the Spirit of God and to this message, you will also be responding to the prayer that somebody has prayed. They won't force you. The praying person won't force you. God that they prayed to will not force you, but if you will respond, I just say to all of us, and let me come back to our musical and our talent, pray musicians, pray singers, pray worship leaders, pray choir, pray. We all know it. We don't need the entertainment of oratory. You don't need some preacher to step up here that has every point exactly, and I believe all of that, and I've got an outline today. And we don't need just talented voices. We need prayerful voices. Because that prayer, which is an instrument, is what connects us with the Lord God Almighty. And when we are connected with Him, He flows through that channel. He talks to us. And our spirit, I believe, Jesus assessed what is happening here at APC. Our spirit is willing. You know what I'm preaching to you today is absolutely the truth. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you like it or not, you know that it is the truth. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak, but greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And let me say something to the rest of us, the congregation that joins in the music and the singing. A praying believer cannot keep from worshiping. On the other hand, a prayerless person will hardly ever rise to a level of worship. Prayer will affect our relationship with others. It will make a difference in every relationship of your life. It will make a difference in family. It will make a difference with unchurched persons. It will make a difference with friends. It will make a difference with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. There is power in God. And that allows me to say there is power in and through prayer. I just want to say today, prayer is easy and accessible. I've talked about some of the difficulties of prayer. I'm not talking against myself now. I just mean it's just up to us to decide, hey, I'm going to pray. It's available. And what it does, it makes God available and accessible. And prayer has some wonderful positives and power. Watch this. Elijah prayed to the same God you and I pray to. Fire fell. Men fell. A little cloud the size of a man's hand appeared out there on the horizon where there had been nothing but dearth and famine and dryness. But when they prayed, that little cloud appeared. And if you are seeing a little cloud, keep praying. If you are seeing a little indication of the answer, keep praying. Keep praying. The thunderstorm is not your signal to keep praying. The small cloud is the signal to keep praying. And then the thunderstorm will come. Elisha prayed and the rivers rolled back. And a little boy is restored to life. You may ask, and I'm asking myself even as I read these from Scripture right now, can that still happen, Pastor? I want to stand flat-footed and say, absolutely. God could send fire from heaven if He desired to. God could roll back a Mississippi River if He desired and He needed to. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Joshua prayed and the sun and the moon stood still. There's an answer in here. There's a problem much lesser than that, but it's all important to you, and God can do that today. God can do that. I feel the engagement. I feel the connection of faith right now. Hezekiah prayed and the sundial turns back. His life is prolonged for 15 years. Jonah prays and he is spared. Hannah prayed and Samuel was born. Isaiah prayed. Listen to this, any of you that are facing some kind of an enemy. Please do not make light of this at any time. Please do not. But 185,000 Assyrians were slain as they were already encircled around. You may already be attacked and already be encircled, but there is a God that can come down. Think about that. 185,000. And it's because of a man of God, an old prophet Isaiah, who goes to prayer, and God said, okay, I hear you. I see what's happening. That's it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to tell you, God's ready to, I feel this right now. It's not in the note. God's ready to take care of something right here. That's right. Go ahead. Put your trust in God. Go ahead and clap your hands. But I hope your heart is clapping right now. I hope your faith is going together right now. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I believe you. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God. There are things that are impossible with men, but there is nothing that is impossible with God. Daniel prayed. The mouths of lions were shut. They prayed in a room in Acts 4, and the place was literally shaken. And they were empowered, and our world was impacted. And we read it today, the church prayed, and Simon Peter was delivered from prison. God sent an angel, and it would be all right if you asked God to commission an angel for you or for your situation today. I don't know if anybody prayed for it in that prayer meeting. It's quite likely somebody did. But whether they did or not, heaven went into action. And sent an angel. I'm going to tell you, we are not on this thing by ourselves. First of all, we have the Almighty God. He is Almighty, isn't He? We have the Almighty God. And then we have the angelic host that God chooses. Woo, I feel Him so close right now. I feel the Spirit of the Lord, but I feel angelic strength and angelic power right here, right now. They are at our call. They are at our need. They are with us. This is not a flesh and blood battle. I'm not about to battle it in the flesh and in the with blood, but it is in the power of the Spirit. I want to instruct you, take your hands off of trying to solve the situation on your own in your flesh and blood. There are things that you can do, but there are some things that only God can do. And if you will step back and let God do it, He will do for you what He did for Paul and Silas. That prison shook, that door opened, their bonds were loosed, and the Philippian church was born because of a prayer meeting. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Here's the call to prayer. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, sometimes we know what to pray for. God's given us common sense and wisdom. And so we pray those things, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with those kind of prayers. But there are some things that God wants to do that we don't know. He said, you call to me. And when you call, somebody walk down this aisle, somebody kneel from wherever you want to kneel, and at this altar or elsewhere, somebody call upon the Lord. And He said, you call and I will answer. And I'm going to show you great things. I'm going to show you things of might. I'm going to show you things that you have not imagined or that you have not thought. And here comes Jesus. He said, I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth, and perhaps there can be some agreement praying today, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. It's not, it might do some good. Maybe if you're really thinking about prayer, it will do some good. But it says, when you agree touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. When any two of you get together on anything at all and make a prayer out of it, heaven goes into action. There is power in prayer. He's calling us to prayer from Matthew 18 and Jeremiah 33. And then He says, if my people which are called by my name humble themselves and pray. And then Jesus gave a parable. And He said, men ought always to pray. Are you wondering what to do at the close of this service? Jesus has the answer. We ought always to pray. And then He tags on, and not to faint. He wasn't giving us the choice of either pray or choose to faint. What He was saying is, if we don't pray, we will grow faint. If we do not pray, we will become weary and thus become overcome. And I close with this call from the Lord. Watch, therefore, and pray always. Watch, therefore, and pray always. So that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. It's going to take prayer to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Would you bow your head with me, please? Now would you stand, please? The Spirit and the Word has made the appeal. So all I need to do is just say, it's time to pray. The altar is open. You can bring any kind of prayer you want to bring. A prayer of consecration. A prayer for healing. A prayer for your family. A prayer for deliverance. A prayer of fresh sacrifice. And don't be hesitant to let your heart speak first of all. And then use your voice to call out to the Lord, because He has a listening heart and a listening ear. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it doesn't have to be pretty, God.
Thank you
that it doesn't have to be perfect.
Thank you that it doesn't have to be like any other. Thank you, Lord.